Last week, a story went viral in British Columbia, and it's making the news right across Canada and other parts of the world. Photos and a video were taken of a massive bloody discharge cloud, is the only way it can be described, in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of British Columbia. Now, the images were captured by Travis Campbell, and the discharge pipe is owned by the Browns Bay Company, and they process Atlantic salmon on the West Coast. And the image is pretty graphic, so I just want to throw that out there before you run off and check it out. Joining us now on the line, the man who is responsible for that wonderful, I call it wonderful video, very well produced, Tavish Campbell on the line. Good morning, Tavish.
Yeah, good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for getting up early. I know it's in the wee hours there on the West Coast still, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's no problem. And I appreciate you calling it wonderful, but I'm not sure if I'd actually agree with that. It's pretty horrendous.
It is pretty horrendous. It's wonderful in the sense it really opens our eyes and starts us asking questions. And that's why I referred to it as wonderful. It's basically a pipeline coming out of a processing plant that processes Atlantic salmon, and it's just a big cloud of blood at 90 feet below the surface. And it's an eye-opener. And I know this is just the tip of the iceberg. We have information on many other discharge pipes that are putting that type of product into the ocean, and even worse. So it's great in that sense. It gives us something to work with. So, first of all, I've got to ask you, you're a professional diver, I take it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm a commercial diver, and most of my diving is involved with, underwater filmmaking, that type of thing.
How did you first hear about this? I mean, you weren't just swimming around at 90 feet one day and noticed a cloud of blood. I mean, what tipped you off?
No, that's right. We had dove specifically on this plant to see what was going on. But I grew up in the Discovery Islands, and that's kind of ground zero for the salmon farming industry. the very channel that I live on has five farms, right along the waterway. So we had known that this was going on for a while. We've been following this industry pretty closely. But, I don't think I was totally prepared for what I was about to see diving down this farm.
So I need to ask you the obvious question now. Were you retained to film this activity? Did somebody on behalf of advocacy groups or an agency, did you do this on your own? Or I guess what I'm saying is, were you paid for this?
Yeah, it's a good question. And no, I wasn't paid for this. This was done totally during my own time. It was me and a friend, Steve, actually on a weekend, just going down and wanting to look around. So, like I said, we've been involved in this, in the whole fish farm kind of debate for a long time. And ultimately, it stems from a pretty genuine concern for our wild fish. That's what motivates a lot of the work we do. So we weren't being paid by anyone. I still haven't been paid by anyone for this footage. We'll continue doing this type of thing in the future as well, just because we care about our salmon. And there's not a lot of people out there actually looking around and investigating this type of thing.
This whole industry is known for discharges at sea. If it doesn't have value, some of it does have value, but a lot of it doesn't have value. So the blood, the entrails, et cetera, are discharged at sea with ocean factory ships and trawlers and processors and so on. So what would make this one different?
That's a good question, because I think it is really important that we make the distinction between wild fish and farmed fish. So if you're to catch a wild fish and release its blood back into the ocean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it's a lot different when we're farming salmon on the coast. And these salmon have a virus called piscine reovirus. This is a virus that's been in British Columbia for a number of years, but it can be traced back to Norway, where the salmon farming industry came from. So it's a lot different when we're farming these fish and we know they contain high levels of this really, quite a dangerous virus for salmon. And you're then releasing this blood back into the environment. And open net pen farms really lend themselves through the amplification of these viruses. Because if you can imagine a wild fish swimming along, the minute it starts to get sick, the minute it starts to slow down, it's going to instantly be picked off by predators and removed basically from the whole food web. But in the open net pen cages, there's no predators able to pick off the slow fish. So these fish are able to survive, these farm fish are able to survive with much higher levels of virus in them. So that's when it becomes really dangerous, is when you take those fish and process them and then release that blood right into these wild salmon corridors.
So do we have laws in place to protect us from this, or is this really not an illegal activity that you documented?
Yeah, well, that's the crazy thing about this whole situation, is that it doesn't appear that the plant is doing anything illegal. So what this is really pointing to, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, kind of their disregard for the health of our wild salmon. So we're not trying to demonize one single plant as a rogue operator or anything like that. We're really trying to, point the finger at the Department of Fisheries and Oceans and use this Bloodwater story to tell a bigger story, which is the fact that, they're in a total conflict of interest, having to promote the aquaculture industry on one hand, but also, supposed to be protecting our wild fish on the other hand.
The PRV virus is linked to heart muscular skeletal inflammation. And the big issue, as I read about it, is if you get this in the farmed fish and the farm fish interact, or we end up with the blood discharge or what have you into ocean waters, native salmon could pick this up, and if it runs rampant with all the problems that salmon face in British Columbia, this is just one more that could put a nail in a coffin. Is that correct, or am I off base on that?
No, that's absolutely correct. So we've known that farmed fish have piscine virus, but it wasn't totally known if PRV was linked with this HSMI, heart and skeletal muscle inflammation, this disease that you're talking about. And that all changed last year when there was a paper released by the Department of Fisheries and Oceans with a few other partners. And they did a study on a particular salmon farm on the West Coast here in British Columbia. And basically they linked PRV with this disease. So, now that we know PRV causes this harmful disease, and we know that 80% of all the salmon, all the farm salmon in BC have PRV, we're really not employing the precautionary principle here. And you're totally right. Wild salmon have to be supreme athletes to survive, and obviously right up to the end of their life, where they have to be, swimming upriver to spawn. So they really can't survive if they have, a disease that's affecting their heart muscle.
So it just dawned on me while you were making that statement that just bringing the pens inland, like we have been talking about here on this program for years, is not the answer. It's not the solution, because those fish will still go to a processing plant that discharges into the ocean. So really, it's a two-prong attack that we need here. We need to move the pens out of the ocean in landlocked water areas, and the processing plants have to be filtered. They need
full discharge treatment,
not just what they're claiming to have. It just needs to be completely airtight. So it's going to be a tough one, I think. Just the chances of moving the pens inland is going to be difficult. Never mind legislating new regulations for the processing plants. So,
yeah, well, it certainly, like you say, those two things have to go hand in hand. But it certainly can be done. There are processing plants on the coast that do have filtration systems. There's ways of neutralizing these pathogens. So I certainly think that the transition into closed containment land-based systems is possible. There are already a number of farms in British Columbia growing other salmonid species in closed containment. So certainly it can be done. And, you know, we just need to employ a bit of common sense. Obviously, we can't be dumping this blood in the water, so it needs to be filtered first.
And we need awareness, and that's what you've done, my friend. TavishCampbell.ca is where you need to go to if you want to watch this video. It's incredible. TavishCampbell.ca. Tavish, thanks for joining us, and more importantly, thanks for bringing this under some light.
Yeah, you're most welcome. Thanks for your interest in this.
Take care. Tavish Campbell, photographer from Western Canada, with some incredible discoveries. And you need to go really read up on it on to do it justice. We couldn't cover it all here.
I just tweeted the link on ODJ Radio with a video as well.
Excellent.